Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 20. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
The next thing you know, you got a Sodom and a Gomorrah out there. What's that doing? God has to wipe that out because they're not behaving with their conscience and they're not behaving with human government because government gave them a place where they could begin to make a few more laws. Not get crazy, but I'm giving you one. You start there. Now you got to figure out what is shedding men's blood mean? Subsequently, each one failed. What happened with the law? God gave them the Mosaic Law and they couldn't keep it. They ended up going after everybody else's gods. They said, we don't like this one. We're going to trade him in. And they try to incorporate him. And then with grace, where are we now? Where is the church in the world today? Not doing too well. A little bit on life support, right? And what's happened is because the church is on life support, the world is decaying. Because we haven't been testimonies of righteousness and holiness and commitment to the Lord and lifting up the standard and answering the lies with the truth. There are a few people who go out and answer the lie of science, science, science with the truth, truth, truth. But it's few and far between, as they say. I say to you that we're looking at a time where there's 1,000 years on the agenda. It's going to be a time where the devil's taken out of the equation, where the world's going to have a perfect government. And for 1,000 years, God's going to have His people, Jesus at the helm, ruling with a rod of iron. And as we rule and reign with Him, what's going to happen is the people who lived through the tribulation, came out of the tribulation, got a few battle wounds, but they did not bow to the Antichrist. They didn't take the mark of the beast. They did not buy into the system that was being foisted upon them from every direction. They stumble into this new kingdom where God brings all the nations before Jesus. He separates the goats from the sheep and He says to the goats, depart from me into everlasting fire. And that's their end. And then those who came through everything and maintained some equilibrium, understood Jesus was the Savior and that they trusted Him during the tribulation, they come out. Jesus says to the sheep on His right hand, enter into the joy of the kingdom prepared for you. This is not to us, He's saying this. This is to the tribulation saints. Enter into the joy of the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So for 1,000 years, you got these humans not glorified, living amongst we who are the church who come back as glorified saints. So you got terrestrial and celestial. No demons at all. All you have is angels, humans that are glorified, and you have humans that have no reason not to believe Jesus is the Savior. They got our testimony, they got the testimony of the tribulational saints, and they got 1,000 years of miracles taking place, streams breaking forth in the desert, lion laying down with the lamb, everlasting joy upon their brow. Enter into the what? The joy. There's joy over there. Jesus changes the atmosphere to the point where everything's perfect. All of the limitations are where they should be. Nothing too harsh, nothing too easy. It's just right. It's perfect government. It's perfect. And at the end of 1,000 years, the devil will be loosed. We'll see that. Pay attention. The Bible says at the end of verse 3, he'll be loosed for a little season. We'll see that here in a minute. And the Bible says, and I saw thrones. So he saw an angel come down. And he saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Right? That's what it is. 1,000 years. Now, understand what he did here is he showed you a couple of things. He says, I saw thrones, and then he said, they that sat upon them. But then he says, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. The understanding is that what's happened here is when Jesus returns, he returns with the church. And when he returns with the church, it's for the marriage supper. In biblical times, the way of marriage was a bridegroom would come and take his bride from an arranged marriage, and he might not tell anybody when he was coming. And so after he's gotten his place ready, he comes and gets her. He takes her to his home for 7 days. And we're going to have a 7-year tribulation, so watch the parallel. He takes her for 7 days, and then he returns to the community and has his reception. It's a marriage supper. Okay, this is where we're rejoicing. We got married. We've had 7 days of nuptial bliss. It's been great. It's been awesome. And all these things take place. And then down here on earth, the tribulation is taking place. And things are being allowed to happen that, you know, would happen naturally if he hadn't been an inhibiting factor all those years. And when he comes back, he takes over. When he takes over, we're with him. But also, there have been people who've been beheaded who trusted God. And all other people at this point will be resurrected. We're going to see that mentioned here in a bit. But the idea of people who are going to be resurrected at the beginning of the millennial kingdom are going to be people who were pre-church. You have the church age, the bride of Christ. We've already been caught up. The Bible says, them that are dead in Christ, the Lord will raise. Remember that? The dead in Christ shall rise first. That's not Old Testament saints. Those saints had to believe in a Savior that was coming, but they weren't part of the bride. Okay, so at the end of the tribulation, God resurrects David and Moses and Daniel and all these great heroes of the faith, and they're all here. For what? The wedding of the Lamb. Okay, it's going to be the wedding feast. And for 1,000 years, this will be a feast. It's going to be a party. 1,000 years. And yet at the end of 1,000 years, after these people who came through the tribulation begin to procreate, they have little babies, and the babies are brought up in a perfect family, and there's no solicitation to evil, and a little discipline, you know, there's not all this stuff. And subsequently, at the end of 1,000 years, there's a whole repopulation of the earth. And at that point, devil's released for a little season. And he's going to deceive. And you're going to see that come to our attention here more. But right now, we have thrones, and they're going to be sitting in judgment. They're going to start with the sheep and goats kind of thing. That's going to be part of it, probably. But they're also going to be judges of angels. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, do you not know you're going to judge the angels? Don't you know? How can you not, you know, judge all the smallest men? If you're going to judge the angels, you should know your Bible well enough to know what God expected from the angels, what God expected from one another. So you know that, and when you know that, you can begin to superimpose that. You're going to have perfect knowledge when Jesus comes, because you're going to have a glorified body. You'll be able to understand even better. But even now, you should be able to have the discernment between right and wrong. So in verse 4, it says, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Now this answers back to what we saw back in chapter 18, where the Bible says in verses 4 through 6, I heard a voice coming from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. This is right before the final amen on Jesus breaking the sky. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she has rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. What he's saying is, he's saying, give her double what she gave you. Give her worse than she gave you. It's not lex talionis, an eye for an eye. You get to take both eyes. This thing was so wicked that even though you have no real idea how wicked it was, I'm telling you, the gloves are off, and I'm going to judge the world and its system. And that's what he's telling them. They're going to be the judges. They're going to be people who are going to be turned around and placed on some sort of a throne themselves, because they're going to be good resources of understanding about why things need to be God's way and not man's devices. Chapter 20, verse 4 says, thrones. He says, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived, and they lived, and they reigned. And they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So these people are all going to be given a special place of influence in the millennial kingdom. So at first, you're going to have the tribulation saints that stumble into the light. Of course, we're on site with Jesus because we come back with him when he breaks the sky and does Armageddon. And then subsequently, you're going to have this resurrection of people who had been killed throughout the ages that were not part of the bride. Look at verse 5. It says, but the rest of the dead live not until the 1,000 years were finished. It says this is the first resurrection. So you have the rapture, you have the return, you have then the first resurrection. It doesn't even count so much as a part of the resurrection in the rapture because it's its own thing. Okay, but it's like a two-stage, if you want to give it that. I've heard it been said, it's like a two-stage. The first resurrection is the dead in Christ, and in 7 years, which is like a minute, you know, then you have the people of saints of yore. They're coming forward. Look what it says in verse 6. It says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with Him, again, 1,000 years. So this resurrection of saints of old being resurrected, they're coming back. You're going to get to meet Daniel. Job. You're going to get to meet Job. You're going to get to talk to any of the saints of yore that you ever wondered about or enjoyed. Joseph is going to be there. It's all of them. David is going to be a co-regent, we're told in the Old Testament. He's going to rule and reign with Christ. I can imagine it sort of like this. Jesus is the actual king of Jerusalem, king of all the earth. But David is the king of Jerusalem as a co-regent. He takes care of all the administration of things. The Bible actually talks about being able to go to the city of Jerusalem and talk to the Lord. People coming up as they're walking into the realm of maybe Israel, getting close, and taking a Jewish man by the hand and saying, can you show me where he's at? Can you take me to him? It's going to be a good day. Everybody's going to be leaning in, and it's going to be awesome. Listen, don't forget this. Everlasting joy will be upon their heads. In His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. There's not going to be this, man, I'm so tired and depressed. Rain on that. Jesus is here, okay? All depression flees. Any kind of spiritual oppressions take a hike. They're gone. Devil's taken out of the factor. Jesus is here. It's going to be a good, good day. And we're going to have a little child be called a little child until he's 100. You know, these days we've been, they called it the infantification of America when the young people didn't feel like they needed to, you know, launch when they were about 18. They get, you know, go get married 18, 19. That kind of thing happened forever. But then all of a sudden we got them at home, you know, up in their years. Well, imagine this. Those people are going to have their kids home until they're 100. But it won't be so bad because they'll be the perfect kids, okay? They'll mow the lawn, take out the trash, try to help you in any way they can. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Don't want to take the air out of your sails here. But the Bible says that blessed and holy are they that had part in the first resurrection. And in verse 6 it says, on them the second death hath no power. Notice the antithesis of the first resurrection. The antithesis of it is second death, which is another name for the second resurrection. It never mentions the second resurrection. The second resurrection is the great white throne where God brings up all the dead and they stand before Him. So the second death we'll get to here in a minute, but just realize as you put your finger there and think about it, that this second death is the antithesis of the first resurrection. And all the people that are resurrected and brought back from the old days, maybe saints that were killed, probably, you know, those that were beheaded during the tribulation were mentioned, and all these others, other than the church, this is the marriage supper of the Lamb for 1,000 years. All those others are here, and they're all going to weigh in on what's right, what's wrong, what works, what doesn't. David's going to tell his failures and his successes. Samuel's going to tell his story. All of the saints you've ever read about are going to be there. Samuel's going to be there. Saul, I believe, is going to be there. A lot of people, oh, is Saul saved? Well, you read about what the Bible says about him after rather than during. I mean, we're all a mess during. Aren't you a mess? Sometimes, I mean, if you take an episode, let's take a couple months out of your life and say, let's put that up there on the screen since you've been saved. Now, God is good, and He saves to the uttermost. And the Bible says that when He saves us, He keeps us. Because none of us could keep ourselves. That's why. Well, the Bible says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. We're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. The Bible says in verse 7, when the 1,000 years are expired, it says Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, I told you already that he is coming and he's angry and he's got like a little bit of time. But what maybe you may have never parsed too closely, maybe you've heard a few things said here and there, is that when he is released, the Bible says he is loosed out of his prison and he goes out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, and specifically mentions Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, and the number of whom was as the sand of the sea. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.